You're listening to Love and War with David Harwood. This is a weekly podcast where David offers spiritual insights that are aimed to enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you are edified by what you hear, please recommend this podcast to people you love. Now, here's David.
Last week I spoke about a metaphor of our relationship with the Lord, that of a sheep to a shepherd, and I was emphasizing the individual aspect of that metaphor rather than being a part of a flock to the shepherd, being an individual sheep to the shepherd, although, of course, the corporate metaphor, flock to shepherd, is emphasized in the scriptures. Today I'm going to speak about a metaphor pertaining to our identity, that is, every single time that it's mentioned, is applied to the believing community corporately. And because it's difficult to describe this, I'm going to call this metaphor God's woman. God's woman is a corporate identity in the believing community. Well, why am I saying God's woman? Because the scripture speaks of three aspects of our relationship with the Lord. One is a young woman who is betrothed, one is that of a bride, and one is that of the wife. Now, it's referring to the same group of people. Let's take a look at the metaphor as the church being betrothed to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 3, Paul wrote, "I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that to the Messiah I might present you as a pure virgin. But I am afraid that, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to the Messiah." Paul here is speaking to the church as a corporate, betrothed young woman. And Paul's saying, I'm not standing in the midst of you as part of the betrothed. I am seeing myself as someone who is involved with making this thing work out, sort of like a matchmaker, Paul the matchmaker. So Paul the matchmaker is saying that he betrothed the Corinthian community to the Lord as a pure young woman who is really devoted to the Lord. He does not want this woman to be deceived by the adversary and taken away from, so to speak, seduced from the simplicity and purity of the church's devotion to the Messiah. Note, this is not a bride. This is a fiancé. This is not a wife. The wedding hasn't taken place yet in this context. Now, the bride. John speaks about the church as bride, both in the gospel and in the book of Revelation. In John chapter 3, verse 28 through 30, John wrote concerning John the Baptist's testimony, "You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease." So here, John the Baptist says the Messiah is the bridegroom, and those who are devoted to the Messiah, they are the bride. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 through 8, there comes a point in the future where this is going to be the story. "Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." So here is this young woman who has moved from the place of being betrothed to the place of being bride. So the Corinthians, Paul's relating to them and saying, "You are betrothed to the Lord." In the Gospel of John, it speaks of the bridegroom, of marriage that is going to be taking place. John the Baptist, a friend of the bridegroom, In Revelation, it speaks of the time where that celebration is about to take place, that ceremony is about to transpire, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the wedding ceremony. I found it to be amazing that the metaphor concerning God's woman, the woman that God is in love with, the woman that stands with God, the corporate woman, the church of the Messiah, the people of God, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 33, it speaks of the church as being the wife. I hear a lot about the bride. I very rarely hear about the wife. Let's take a look at what it is that Paul wrote. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as the Messiah also is the head of the believing community, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the believing community is subject to the Messiah, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as the Messiah also loved the believing community and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the believing community in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Messiah also does the believing community, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to the Messiah and the believing community. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Paul speaks about the church as wife, not just as betrothed, not as a bride who is getting herself ready the day of the wedding. No, he's speaking of people that have actually come together, that know each other, that live with one another, that have common interests. This type of relationship wherein the husband loves the wife as much as he loves himself. He lays down his life for that wife. This is a picture of the Messiah Jesus with his church. This is God in love. God longs for his betrothed. God celebrates his bride's arrival. And God has entered into a fully satisfying, maturing, cooperative covenant relationship with the church, as a husband enters into that type of relationship with his wife. Now, what is the expectation of the fiancé or the groom or the husband of the wife? At the very least, fidelity. He wants this woman to remain true to him. Now, within the framework of the believing communities, there is diversity. There is diversity amongst the expressions of God's woman. We see seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3 being described in their relationship to the Messiah. Most are not completely faithful, two are. Within the framework of the epistles, Paul is not dealing with the same issues more than once, and you see that these churches, they seem to have like a corporate personality. Rome is not Galatia, Philippi is not Colossae. These churches have different corporate personalities. They have different corporate personalities. They have different circumstances, and different promises are given to them based upon a different revelation of the same Messiah. Certainly, we see that type of thing taking place within the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation, the revelation of the Lord Jesus. He says to one group, if you overcome, this is what's going to happen. Here is a promise. To another group, if you overcome, you're going to receive this, a different promise, dealing with different personalities, different characters. The one thing that they had in common is that they belong to him. Now, this is the Lord's ideal, a a good marriage. He wants the church to be a faithful woman to whom he is attracted and who shares his life in the earth. In Revelation, it says that she is adorned with fine linen, her righteous acts. This is a people who are prepared, they're equipped, they're doing the work of God by the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit, motivated by love. However, what she does, her actions, they are not her identity. It is her relationship to the Lord which determines her identity. It's her relationship to the Lord which determines her role. And ultimately, it is the type of relationship she has to her Lord which determines her actions. Now, unless otherwise indicated, it would take a lot of confirming spiritual indications to believe otherwise. All believers are to take their stand as being pleasing to the Lord. Now, we find that in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the Lord had a problem with 5 out of the 7 churches. However, we do not trust in what we can produce. We do not trust in what we can produce to assure us in our identity. We trust in His righteousness and the motivating power of His wonderful Holy Spirit. Biblically, and we're getting this metaphor from the Bible, from biblical culture, biblically, the husband is considered the head of the household. Biblically, when looking at monogamous households, which is the ideal, consensus and mutual honor is the norm. When you look at Isaac and Rebekah's marriage, we see two individuals in the strange relationship of essential harmony and also some foundational conflict. Manoah and his wife, there's visitation, divine visitation, and she offers wisdom and an interpretation to her husband, Manoah. Isaiah, he was married to a woman that was a prophetess, and she was in harmony with the word of the Lord that came to Isaiah. At times, the husband's will is overruled by the desire and counsel of his wife. In Genesis 21, verse 12, Sarah has had it with Hagar and tells her husband, "Throw this woman out of the house. Throw her and her child out." Abraham doesn't want it, but God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, for through Isaac your descendants shall be named." Here the Lord is saying to Abraham, "Listen to your wife." Husbands really do need to listen to their wives. The father of our faith, Abraham, was told to listen to Sarah. He did, and the will of God was accomplished. There are examples of when a wife's advice is not respected when it needed to be heeded. This is occasionally the prelude to disaster. I think that perhaps the most impressive one is Pilate's wife. In Matthew 27, verse 19, while Pontius Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." This man needed to listen to his wife. One goal of having our minds renewed is to see our individual selves as part of God's woman and corporately as a unique expression of His woman. We are to be those who corporately are romanced by the Lord. We are to be those who corporately are the Lord's faithful wife. And the Lord's woman has expectations too. The Lord expects fidelity. The Lord expects fidelity and respect. Well, His woman expects the Lord's faithfulness, His patience. The woman expects guidance, provision, intimacy with the Lord. And he shares his identity. He shares his status with his wife. He opens up his heart to her. He self-discloses. He says what's on his mind. He brings her into emotional and intellectual intimacy, washing his wife with the water of the Word. And he puts his woman's needs and interests above his own. He lays down his life. This is part of the corporate identity of the church. And we are to find ourselves there as members of this corporate woman with whom God is in love.
Love and War is written and presented by David Harwood. Editing is by David and Sam Iovino, who is also the producer and technical advisor for the podcast. David is the pastor of Restoration Fellowship in Glen Cove, New York, and the author of the books God's True Love and For the Sake of the Fathers. To purchase copies of David's books, please go to loveofgodproject.org. The theme song for this podcast is Skirmish, from the album Combustion, which was written and performed by Leonard Jones. Additional episodes of Love and War can be downloaded on the Podbean app or through iTunes. For more information on Love and War, Restoration Fellowship, God's True Love, or For the Sake of the Fathers, visit us on restorationfellowshipny.com, loveofgodproject.org, book.forthesakeofthefathers.com, or you can follow us on Facebook at Restoration Fellowship NY, Love of God Project, Love and War DH, and For the Sake of the Fathers. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email David at loveandwar_DH@yahoo.com. As always, please remember to share Love and War and support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes and Podbean.